This is exactly right.
On the next season of Tenfold More Wicked, a longtime listener reaches out with a tragic family story that's been passed down through the centuries. It's about Rebecca Briggs Cornell, an English Puritan separatist fleeing religious persecution, only to be found burned to death in her own home. Was it an accident or was it murder? Season 11 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I must really be going through something because an inspirational quote on a jogger's t-shirt worked on me.
I'm Brandi Posey, and I don't owe anyone money for the first time in 6 years, and the fearlessness with which I answer unknown phone numbers now is exhilarating.
I'm Tess Barker, and no offense to Al Gore, but I don't know if I can ever forgive him for inventing the internet.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show.
We got a special ladies only episode to kick off 2021. Ladies, please welcome ladies. Just your three favorite mouths speaking into microphones.
Wow.
Wow.
That is what my boyfriend
Who's your favorite
tells
mouth? Write to us.
Yeah, you have the best mouth. Mouth is such a weird word. Mm-hmm. It's a good word.
Mouth.
It's funny because it's a weird sounding word to make with your mouth.
Mouth.
It's not nice to mouths.
I think it has one of the shortest, like, it sounds like it means nothing the more you say it, of
mouth.
Words.
Mouth.
Just
yeah,
mouth.
Mouth.
It
mouth.
Starts becoming mouth. A noise mouth. Very mouth. Quick. Mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. It also doesn't look like you're saying it when you say it. You know, like
mouth.
The word mouth.
Mouth.
It just doesn't. Mouth. Now we're just, hey, everybody, welcome to 2021. This is the podcasting now.
You know, we're not even saying full sentences. We're just saying one
That's,
word.
Yeah, I think
okay, I'm going to stop. Okay.
I think everyone's in this headspace, so it's fine. No one yeah. really feels like a new year started. It's like everyone came back to work and we're like, ugh. It's like dragging yourself out of a fucking like pit. It's just not, I don't think anyone's feeling it, so.
Yeah, we're truly living in batshit crazy times.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say.
We are. And we're all we're trying to get through the sludge and just hope, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. So here's our comedy podcast,
days?
Everyone.
Woo! Yeah. How many days did Groundhog's Day take place over the movie?
You know what? I think that they've said it takes place. Let me see. Because I think it's like a few thousand times.
Okay. Gotcha. So we're not there yet, but
yeah, it's gonna get there.
But we're probably like, yeah, I feel like we're about a third
we're
of the way
We're all gonna
through.
Learn how to ice sculpture Andy McDowell by the end of this, is what we're saying.
Thank God, I've been waiting my whole life to do that.
Honestly, somebody should make a ice sculpture of Andy McDowell every year. That's what Christmas would have felt like Christmas if we had had that this year.
A different Andy McDowell.
I know,
every
and
year.
Usually I do have that. My family does. That's what I didn't feel. I didn't get together with my family, therefore no Andy McDowell ice sculpture.
It's
so.
the 12 days of Andy McDowell, and it's just watching Magic Mike XXL for 11 days and then riding the bus with my sister on one day.
And then she melts down slowly, and then when the Andy McDowell ice sculpture is totally melted, you know it's time for Christmas.
Can I tell you guys that for most of what you guys were just talking about, I was picturing Andy McDowell, but for a little bit, I was picturing Minnie Driver.
Oh, man. See, here's the thing. I think I was thinking of Minnie Driver the whole time, but I...
Interchangeable hairstyles. Very interchangeable hair.
They both really know their way around a blazer.
Oh, absolutely.
They both, like, have a smile and are not afraid to show it.
Doesn't Andy McDowell also look like another lady?
She looks like every lady. That's the whole peel of Andy McDowell.
She also looks like the woman who's on
BB Newer?
Last Man on Earth.
BB Newer?
No, Last Man on Earth.
Kristen Schaal. No.
No, what What's her name? Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just like an older brunette.
I think
lady
Andie MacDowell kind of also looks like Phoebe Newirth.
I can see that.
I'm just going to say it.
Do you guys have celebrities that you get told you look like a lot?
Yeah. I don't know. I used to get Daryl Hannah. I haven't gotten that in a while. I mean, I guess Daryl Hannah. I'm trying to think of someone else.
I don't really get a ton. I'll get random redheads that, like, I really don't look like, but we'll just kind of have similar hair. Mary Steenburgen. That's not who I look like, but that's who Andie MacDowell looks like.
She does. Good call.
I just was looking her up in the between talking. Yeah, I get. I
we
just
should
get
start
hair
a show called America's Next Andie MacDowell. Okay, go on.
I would love to see that. It's like, we're going to need to see you order a intricate thing at Starbucks, and that's the audition.
I get like when Russian Doll, I got bangs and I got a lot of like Russian Doll comparison. So I get hair celebs.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
That makes sense. I get what's the gals from That 70s Show and Orange is the New Black's name?
Oh, Laura Prepon?
Yeah, I get Laura Prepon a lot.
Oh, okay.
And I'm always
Laura
like,
Prepon, I feel like Busy Phillips a little bit.
Busy Phillips, yeah. I get too. Yeah.
I think Busy Phillips. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the two I kind of get pretty often. When I was a kid, the girl from So Weird on the Disney Channel. But, you know, now she's a Pilates instructor in Burbank and we don't look the same.
That's the best thing about moving to LA is like that you get to see those endings.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have the podcast now, so who's really...
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. Cara Delizia, I know you're out there.
We do have to be famous to have a podcast. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what happens. You get famous and they just give you one.
I will say you also do have to be famous to teach Pilates in Los Angeles.
If you want people to come, for sure.
Yeah.
Very true. Okay. So for Christmas, my boyfriend gave me a cameo gift, and it was Darcy Silva from 90 Day Fiancé. And Darcy, if you guys don't...
Yeah, a little background on her, because I don't know who she is, really. Yeah.
So Darcy has been on, like...
I just have a 90 Day Fiancé beef, real quick.
Oh!
Okay. Inject your beef.
Barbara, you told me to watch 90 Day Fiancé. I said, I will do that. I watched this entire recent season and I kept trying to talk to you about it and you said, oh, I gave up on that season because it sucked.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, I watched the whole thing. Go on.
Wow. That, everybody, was a Tess Barker beef injection.
See, I didn't. Yeah, that was a hot Tess beef injection. I didn't know that season would suck, to be fair. I should have told you a specific season, maybe, to go to watch. Because I started watching it, and I was like, this one is really boring in comparison to most of them. I think I have been watching it more, though. That's the one with Colty, right? Or not? Mm-hmm.
No, Colty,
yeah,
no.
Okay.
No, there's no
Colty. Oh, Colty? Okay. I think it still has the flavor of it. How did you feel about the flavor?
Honestly, wouldn't have regretted it if there was something in the flavor that I hated. Like, obviously, I kept eating it.
But it is a show that you want to interact with people about, so I can understand that you were like, what the fuck? I got shut down.
Exactly. I got shut down, and each episode is like 90 minutes, and I'd be like, eh, so what about this chick in Russia, huh? And then it's just like, oh, yeah, that season sucked. What?
Damn.
I haven't seen that yet. I started watching it after you told me that. I think I was on another one.
Fair.
It's one of those things. It's the 90 Day universe now. There's like five shows. There's Before the 90 Days. There's After the 90 Days. There's 90. There's a lot of things.
Oh,
but Darcy,
wow.
Yeah, Darcy is a twin, and she's been on the show many times. I can't even remember who her first one was. I think
fraternal or identical. It's very important.
Identical.
Woo!
She has an identical twin called Stacy, who looks
called.
They've also gotten like that same. Yeah, Stacy and Darcy, and they've also gotten the same plastic surgery, and so they just look the exact same. It's wild.
Oh,
so,
wow.
They're both like really short, blonde girls who just are, I don't know, like,
yeah.
Just, they seem like bottle service girls in Vegas. They're just like perfect and like, you know, have nipped and tucked everything to like the nth degree. Yeah. But I love
her.
Did
they both 90 Day Fiancé? Or just
no, no. Darcy is only the only one on the show, but Stacy is on there like as well. So just by product of being Darcy's sister. So, so I can't even remember. Darcy's whole first thing was that she had this like guy, Jesse, who was Swedish or some shit. It doesn't matter. Whatever. That was her first guy. She went over there to try and it was just like drama, drama, drama. They shouldn't have been together, you know, but she's been on the show multiple times, just like with different relationships. And so, you know, it was something that me and my boyfriend watched in quarantine. And so he got me a cameo from Darcy for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. I'll play it on the show, but it was very sweet. And she's just like, hey, hey Babs, it's your girl Darcy. Which is a great way to start any video. But
so yeah, Darcy left. Sorry guys, my sound was being weird, but it's back. So Darcy left me a cameo thing and a pretty long one. And she was very sweet and she was like, yeah, congrats on your comedy. Yeah, she was like, congrats on your comedy writing job. Me and Stacy, when we moved to LA, we started a production company that made an urban comedy called White Tea. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, what? Just this random. And then she was like, so DM me anytime. And like, it was just a really funny video.
Wow.
So I'm just
Darcy's
telling you guys.
Up in your shit.
That's a good present. I love that. I love that cameos have entered the like, it's a good present to get people. If they already have everything, they don't have somebody from Road Rules 1998 telling them, hey, nice ass or whatever.
Exactly. I think it's an interesting way to deliver information. You know?
For sure.
And I think that they should be marketing themselves as such. Like, yeah, it's nice if it's just like, hi, good luck or whatever. But if you gotta like fire someone, propose to someone.
Oh, the Mark McGrath breakup.
I think
breakup
that some
was
people
perfect.
Have used it for breakup. Oh yeah, that's what it was.
The Mark McGrath breakup was perfect.
I missed that, but I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, by the way, the second conversation I've had about Mark McGrath today. So
absolutely.
He's back, year. Baby. Mm-hmm. But so she left me this nice video and it was very cute. And my boyfriend gave it to me. And so I was like, oh, I have to post this, you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, she called us her number one favorite. Which she said, you're definitely my number one fan, number one couple.
Number one fan.
Number one couple. Hell yeah.
Just a really funny like thing for us to play in the background while we have sex. So,
yes,
you know, I posted it online and, you know, it's the only video I've like ever done a bunch of hashtags on because I just don't give a shit about hashtags. So, of course, I hashtag Darcy Silva, 90 Day Fiancé. And you know what hashtag brings, and that's trolls. So
the hashtag trolls came out.
Oh no.
They came out. They were actively searching Darcy and looking to shit on her.
And this is the day after Christmas, right? This is like Christmas.
This is people, they should be laying in their bed in Christmas pajamas. I know. And like with like a hot chocolate eggnog hangover, like enjoying the stupid, you know, stocking presents you might have gotten or something.
Yeah.
And they're scrolling to Instagram to talk shit on this woman they don't know. So I got like a few random, it was one of those things where I was like, what's going on here? Like, why am I getting, and then I realized that I'm like, oh, the Darcy trolls have found me.
Yeah.
So there was this one in particular called Lacey Runner Mom. It's always people like that. Like,
yeah.
And they're fucking,
of course it is.
You know, their things are like God Coffee Country or something.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly. You're like, no, you should have just written bitch, bitch, bitch.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So we just got this like weird influx of trolls. And of course I was like, well, I'm going to defend her. Cause like, fuck you people just talking shit on this random person you don't know, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
Whatever. She's a person. Who cares? She hasn't done anything wrong to anybody.
Yeah. And like this, like Lucy Runner Mom was like, people pay for this shit. And then somebody else was like, I know, LMFAO, what a waste of money. And they're like conferring with
on
each
your
other.
Little Christmas post. I honestly detest it. I hate it.
It's
so
bad.
Yeah. I want to move to the mountains.
I know. The Twitter, God, I'm getting old. The internet is just really getting to like beyond toxic at this
point. No, you were right the first time. The Twitter is getting toxic.
Yeah. The Twitter, the Insta, the all of it, the internet in general. Tess, I think your opening joke was correct. Al Gore, the most harm of all people.
You better save the fucking planet now, bitch, after you pull that
shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, it's funny because like I said something to Adam, Barbara's boyfriend, yeah, like in Brandy- the comments, and then she also DM'd me and like trolled me and called me pathetic and stuff. And I was like, girl.
Oh, God.
Girl, I'm like friends with these people. Well, who are you?
Yeah.
It's just, it it's also just so makes crazy. Me mad because it, it, I don't like them for what they're doing, and I don't like the side it brings out in me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you bet I looked at Lucy Runner Mom's Facebook page, and you bet I almost screenshot a bunch of photos of her and sent them back to her and was like, this you? You're calling me ugly bitch? But instead, I just had that for myself the day after Christmas, which was, no one wants that. I don't want that in my head.
No, well, it's, here's the thing.
I don't need those screenshots on my desktop.
Well, it's hard when you're really good at you're really good at being an internet sleuth to like know when to rein that power in, to be like, I could do this. I know how to find this stuff really well, really easily. It's just a hard, it's a hard power to like control within yourself for sure.
Yeah. So I just like, I just defended her and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? But it's still happening. Yeah. Somebody was like, you must be her bodyguard. And I was like,
what?
Yes, I'm her There's bodyguard.
Oh my God. This, like, in a weird way, like, makes me feel slightly more relieved about any of the people that have come after me online, because it's like, okay, they just, there's just this population of detestable people who just sit there all day.
Yeah, they just sit online and like do their shit. It's like,
it's I mean, it's a weird pathology, and it's got to be kind of like unique to mankind. Like, it's a new disease.
Well, I've checked Jack's Twitter, and my dog's Twitter is like pretty toxic too.
So. Oh, I bet. Garth's Twitter.
Garth
so
is,
much porn.
Garth
it's
is
really
so,
porny.
So messy on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's just accidentally retweeting all sorts of dicks into the timeline. It's like, oh,
Archie is good, but he's just one of those people who's accidentally tweeting his search results all the time, you know? So it'll just be like, where's fish or stuff like that. It's like, want bed.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. Man, on New Year's, I was just, I have not watched like a true New Year's countdown, like on TV, really, like for like more than like the 5 minutes around it in quite a long time. And this year I watched like the KTLA, which is a KTLA out here in LA was showing this Las Vegas countdown that happened on, they did the East Coast Mountain, Central Mountain, and then Pacific. And it was
so they did it every hour?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the most beautiful. I watched it for 4 hours because what else was like, I going to do is me and my boyfriend just like sat on the couch. We're like, well, let's just, we watched, you know what, how we found it? There was a slow speed chase happening in our neighborhood and then it cut away from it to this like Vegas shit show. And I was like, well, I'll just watch this for 4 hours.
That
and this
perfect
is
perfect introduction.
Yeah.
So you were watching, you were watching a slow chase.
Yes.
Yeah. And it turned to a KTLA broadcast of Las Vegas and you accidentally see.
I love to, this is why I love like actual TV. This is what can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the entire thing for the mountain countdown. They were running late on the countdown and it was started at 5 and the woman didn't see it. And then at 3, she goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Like, it's like how she got it down for mountain time.
So wait, let me get this straight. They did a different countdown for each time zone.
For each time zone, yes. And Pacific was
the
big
like,
one.
And wasn't it like a themed? It was, but they were just saying it.
There was one Vegas. So there was like news anchors, like weird Vegas news anchors. And then one Vegas performer and like his band that they kept cutting to, and this guy named Zoe Bowie, who looks like Mark McGrath, but like a Vegas Mark McGrath, which is already Mark McGrath,
oh no,
but even more. And it was him and his band, and he was like the most beautifully corny thing I've ever watched in my life. And also, they were performing for nobody because there's COVID safe, so they'd be like tearing down the house, yeah, and then it would just the echo would ring through like this empty studio. to nobody.
Oh. We're living in such a surreal nightmare.
I couldn't stop laughing. I'd be like, play another one. Play it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And like,
you know, I kind of love this for Zoe Bowie because like, this opportunity was never going to knock for him had not occurred.
No, no. And he got to be on TV for 4 hours. He was also, Vegas was freezing. You could tell they were all freezing. The dancers behind him with their big headdresses, they were all holding them with like their hand and like dancing with their other hand. It was such a perfect shit show. And they came back for one commercial break.
God. Need someone to fill 4 hours. Zoe, a performer like Zoe Bowie is who you go to.
Oh, yeah. A Vegas performer is going to bring it as hard as possible. It was really beautiful. They cut away. They went to like the roof of this one, some casino that was having like a real party that they kept being like, it's a COVID safe party. And then they interviewed one of the party goers and it was this like real cokey party girl that came over and immediately hugged the newscaster and the news, like she had just said it was COVID safe. And then hey baby. Ah,
oh,
COVID safe and party are just, they're not in the same.
It's not possible.
Stop pretending they're in the same sentence.
I love this, Brandy. So like,
it's so good.
Wow. So like, 12 people in Vegas just did a bunch of coke and took over TV for 4 hours?
Well, Tess, they're literally, that is true, because they came back for one of the commercial breaks and the audio, they hadn't even cut to the video yet, but the audio, we just heard this like thing. It was like straight up a full...
You know it was fucking Roey Zoe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was ready to go. It was... We'll do a sound drop of the cocaine sniff because it is like... I've never heard
it was
that
like
on
it
TV.
Sounds like Scarface level. It's like that that poster of Al Pacino with all the coke. That's what this sounds like.
It's so good. And the party goer, the gal, her little interview, the person like interviewing her was like, so what are your New Year's resolutions? And she's like, I just want to travel more next year and I just want to fucking experience everything. She drops an F-bomb on Cape to LA. And they like quickly were like, okay, back to you, Zoe Bowie. They cut back over to him. It was
what a disaster.
It was such a
was
disaster.
No one available to run this thing?
I don't
How
think
does
so.
This happen?
Well, okay, so also they were trying to raise money for like a soup kitchen or some in a Vegas.
I kind of honestly love them and the night they had.
Oh,
like,
no.
Love them.
It was better than any Dick Clark anything I've ever watched. And they kept being like, we're going to get to 1 million meals by midnight in the Pacific time zone. Guess where they were at? At midnight in the Pacific time zone.
Oh, no.
280,000. So far below where they were trying to get to. And then they
added that element? Who added the
I don't know.
The charity meal element to this.
It was I was like, nobody is watching this, number one. It's 15 people that are watching it. And it was genuinely fucking beautiful. It's fucking beautiful.
Okay, I just want to say, if there's an opportunity for us to host this next year, I think we need to get in there.
It sounds like there is. It honestly sounds like there is. That's what I'm saying.
I think we genuinely could, because it really, the three anchors that were doing it were so miserable, because there's some new hotel or casino that just opened up, but they were doing it on like the pool deck of.
The Cirque.
Yeah. That's where it was. And so it was on the pool deck of the Cirque, and they like... They didn't put up windscreens, so you kept hearing in their microphones, and they were all buttoned up like this, freezing for like 4 hours, and like their papers were blowing out of their hands and stuff. And I was like, they're so miserable right now. It was really a beautiful cathartic way for 2020 to end. I was like,
that sounds perfect. I wish I would have seen that. That sounds amazing.
That honestly
that sounds
does
like
sound
when I used to just like when I first moved to LA, and I would just be channel skipping and like get local channels, and there was a channel that would show people at Dimples Bar singing karaoke. It was just like piped
I remember that.
It was just piped into a random bar in Burbank watching people sing karaoke. It was amazing.
It really had public access TV a feel to it. The last song of 2020, they were playing that Ole 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 Ricky Martin song. And Zoe Bowie was fucking going for it. He's bringing it. And the countdown is going behind him. And it hits like 30 seconds. And the song has so much song left. And I was like, is he going to miss the countdown? But he turns around.
He
turns around. He sees it. And then he just sings, tonight's the night. And then he did like a conductor, like ended the music. And then he goes, 10, 9, 8. He caught it, but like barely. It was amazing. There was a minute where I was like, this guy is going to miss the countdown and I'm just going to laugh for the rest of my life.
Oh my God.
There's just nothing more fun than just observing like chaos in that way.
Oh yeah. It really, it puts you in like a very like chaotic headspace of just like, yeah, yeah. How bad can it get?
Well, there's something just so honest about it.
Yes.
You know, it's so nice to have the veneer of good production pulled away. I mean, yes. It kind of reminds me of like on a much bigger scale, my favorite New Year's of all time is the Mariah.
Oh, the Mariah. It had big Mariah energy, yes.
It sounds like it had big Mariah energy.
Wait, the Mariah, yeah. What am I missing?
Oh, but she got carried around and didn't, her audio. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That was the best. I watched that video probably like 30 times in a row. Like there's everything about it was just like goals as fuck. Because like,
yeah.
Although she was being carried around and not singing the lyrics to her song, you've never seen someone that confident while getting carried around. She just exuded absolute faith in herself.
No, it's something to aspire to, honestly. That level of just like, yeah, it doesn't matter what I do. I already got paid.
Exactly. Like, no, I don't know the words. You guys do. And what are you going to do about it? I'm Mariah fucking Carey.
We're going into this year. Okay, I'm officially going to try to go into this year with Mariah Carey getting carried around energy.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, y'all.
BRB.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And found something interesting. You know, this is the problem with the internet is it's so shitty and it just gives you this like 0.1% nugget once in a while that you're like, oh, haha, you titter. And then you're like, okay, it was worth that. There's a cute duck or something. And you're right. That's what we wanted this to be. So anyway, someone was posting about Disney-themed funerals, and I wanted to share it because it's wild. We were just saying, like, yeah, Disney-themed funeral or weddings, both.
Yeah, both equally disturbing, I think. But like, and I think we're talking off air, and I think Tess is right. The funeral is more disturbing, but a Disney wedding is also disturbing to me because, like, you're gonna fuck at the end of the day. Like Princess Jasmine, like, don't. Don't. That's a children's movie. Ultimately, it's still a children's movie.
Okay. I'm going to come at this from a different perspective because I've been on Molly at Disneyland.
Okay, fair.
So I've mixed Disney, not Disney and fucking, but I you know, I can't say I have a Lily White. An adultness. Yeah.
An adultness with a Disney.
I mean, I do think that Disney movies are, I think they're, you know, they're kids' movies, but I get, you know, obviously we all like them as adults too, but. Yeah. It is another level to bring it to this place. It's just a themed anything. A themed event of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know what
with
I say
like
that?
A brand? With a brand?
I say that, though. And some people do it, like, so cute. So I don't know. There's also, like, an exception to every rule. Because one of my favorite things I've ever seen on the internet, I think it was a couple years ago, but remember that little boy who had the CVS-themed birthday party?
Oh. No, but I love that.
It was
just lots
cutest.
Of receipts everywhere.
Yeah, there was like receipts everywhere, and this kid just like loves CVS, and like they got him a little vest and a cash register. It was a really cute party. So I don't know.
No, that's fine.
I mean, I don't know how many cute Disney funerals there are, though.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's very true. Well, it's like, true. Do you hire like the Mickey to give like your eulogy or whatever? Like, is the sound when your casket gets lowered into the ground? That,
yeah,
like,
I mean, you can't, because we know how the mascots work. They can only laugh, yeah, and like, yeah, you know.
I will, yeah, say this one more thing about Disney weddings and Disney funerals, and this is more relevant than you're going to think at first. Mm-hmm. But Princess Diana was married in a carriage and then driven through London in carriages that either were the same carriage or looked very similar.
Mm.
And when she got married, her wedding dress was so big that they like hadn't accounted for like the size of the carriage she was going to be in. So they shoved her into this carriage and there was just so much fabric all around her for that the whole ride to the church, she was just drowning in wedding dress. Anyway, so that's
definitely,
what I think,
give
of
her a straw to breathe through the top, yeah, of the carriage.
That's very, yeah, funny.
Yeah. Thanks to the listener, by the way, who recommended the "You're Wrong About Princess Diana." That's where I learned that, and it was very interesting.
I don't think I really knew who Princess Diana was until she died. Like, I think that's like the,
really,
first, my first like real awareness of who she was. I didn't really,
really?
Pay, yeah, I like didn't really pay attention to like royal stuff at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I just... I
mean, I only had awareness of it in the fact that, like, it was in our face because of pop culture. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
that was kind of,
I think,
for me.
My mom really liked Princess Diana. So I think I just remember her because, like, my mom liked her. And I think just remember... I remember seeing her in a lot of magazines, like, when we're at the,
yeah,
salon.
Yeah, she was very,
whatever,
like... It was like Jennifer Aniston and Princess Diana.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's the same era. But it was just,
but it,
like,
was like...
She,
yeah,
was up again. Yeah, I was in the same things as all this other pop culture stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I'm probably wrong. But, like, yeah, I just, like, didn't really... It just wasn't, like, in my... Like, what I was paying attention,
I mean,
to at all.
To me, the whole into being into the royals is odd. It's just an odd...
Yeah.
It's, like, a very old thing that we're, you know, people pay attention to. But it is strange.
It is, like,
yeah, it's like state sanctioned movie stars is all they are. It's like if the government, yeah, was to just have a budget that was like to have homegrown movie stars, but that didn't make movies.
Well, that are extremely inbred and their blood doesn't clot.
That too.
It's like if Tom Cruise's blood didn't clot. That's what a,
well,
royal...
Do we think it for sure does?
I mean, I think he can probably like shout it into clotting is what we've learned,
yeah,
I think.
That's true. Tom Cruise seems actually, I'm going to take that back, like a very durable human.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Ridiculous.
So yeah, here's some details about the, I don't know, I guess this is, okay, magicalpassings.com. So this is like a place that just does it. This is what they do. Can music be played inside the casket? This request is more frequent than you think, but the answer has two parts. One, yes, we can play music inside the casket. Many times, theme park loops are requested from the beloved one's favorite area of the park.
Oh,
we have,
Barbara,
devised a relatively hidden way of continuously charging whatever solar arrangements. Okay, so yeah, you can have theme park noises playing for your body while you're in the casket.
Oh, Barbara, I'm going to stop you there for a second. You go to magicalpassings.com. It's a satire site. You got anted.
Oh,
oh no,
no. Guys got anted.
It's the first anting of 2021.
Oh, oh no. Cheers.
No. I'm so old. I'm like desperately trying to go to the site to prove it's real.
Oh, they got your ass, dude.
Hey, this was
if you had to go on one, this is a great one to go on.
This is someone from someone's Twitter thread who also thought it was real, and I had,
okay,
not scrolled enough yet.
That's
to see
how
it
most
debunked.
Antings happen. That's, yeah, how most antings happen.
This is where antings come from, Barbara.
Oh no! Oh God! I anted. This has got. I need to take a break. I can't.
Annie up.
I can't.
Annie up.
We need to get a sound drop that's just like, you got anted.
Okay, along the same lines, I am... Wait, so it's not working for me when I... Oh, wait. Please note, this is a satire site created in 2018. God. It was created as an April Fool's... Oh, wow. It's an April Fool's joke. That's like a double ant.
Wow. Yeah. What a slap in the face.
What a strong aunt to come out of the gate with.
Hey, well, did you guys hear about this? This thing is real.
Oh man, this is like the big, like when my dad sent me an Onion article for the first time and I was like, oh daddy,
yeah, I'll never think of you. I feel very dad Onion article adjacent right now.
Yeah, as that's where you are right now.
It's interesting because I don't think I've obviously shared things that I later found out were fake before. Mm-hmm. But you know, usually yeah. They're not. But the shame I feel right now is very specific.
Walk us through your shame.
Is it because there's a disclaimer literally on the site?
But I didn't see the website. Yes, it's just, it's a shame. Yeah, the shame is just like, wow. I don't know how to describe it, but it makes me feel very defensive, and I think I understand boomer dads now. That's all. I feel like I need to defend myself.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
This is how, you know what? But the important thing is, this is how fake news happens, and the important thing is that you're embracing the fact that you got anted.
I learned a lesson.
This was a teachable moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys think that unless I start sharing this with other people, and I'm like, no, this
this is real. I bought you. Now Barbara's gonna, like, out of spite, have a Disney themed funeral just to prove that it did happen once.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna make it real. That's what I do with fake news.
Six Jack Sparrows carrying your your coffin.
It's a long game, but like, I think it might be, the payoff might be worth it.
It really might. I mean. Be.
Oh my God! Did you guys hear about the Jack Sparrow show on that was going to be on Quibi?
Oh my God! Okay, no, but did it have to do with the multiple Jack Sparrows that work on Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming because it's about Jack Sparrow, you know, impersonators. So it was supposed to be
Barbara. Okay, I hate to do this.
Oh no, it's fake again.
No.
It's also fake.
No. Okay, now I'm worried. Now I'm fucking worried. Like, you went out of your way at bat number one. Oh, for fucking two, dude.
Ooh, Barbara, I hate to tell you this. The Jack Sparrow house is fake.
This is, I'm really, no, I no, but really wait. Bad.
Did you guys see about how sometimes when you're getting gas, there can be people hiding in your car in the back seat?
Do you guys ever check just out of fear when you're in your car? Because I do that sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. You got to.
Wow. I need to, like, take a break. This is too much. I can't. I'm not going to talk for a little while.
Wait. Now, I need to know now. I need to know. Like, were these two tweets next to each other? Or it's truly just.
Absolutely not. This was. It's sincerely just.
You just out of any article that you could have brought up.
It was something I was reading about some Quibi a while ago about shows on Quibi, and it was listed as one of them, which obviously wasn't real.
I will say, Barbara, this one was harder to spot the error on because it was a fake Wikipedia page that somebody created.
Oh, see, there.
Okay. That took a little fact-checking. Okay.
This fake Jack Sparrow house, I wish was real. Yes. It says the television show placed 14 Jack Sparrow impersonators in a single family home who were eliminated if they broke character.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it actually is a fantastic
show. I understand why you thought that was true because, like, that's a lie. Unlike the Disney funerals, which we can all decide was ridiculous, but this one is like.
Is it though? Do you think that that's that ridiculous, a Disney funeral?
I'd never clicked on the link, but kind of from the get, I was like, a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. Right. I feel
I'm
like
proving that they've happened.
I think they've been DIY'd for sure. Yeah, I just don't think a service would exist. Because I feel like if you're throwing a Disney funeral, you also have a lot of costumes already.
Yeah.
You know, ready to go.
Right.
Now, the Quibi Jack Sparrow, it's so specific that mm-hmm. it's like, but then also knowing what we know about comedy, Yeah. And this goes back to, we should know it was fake because comedians love making fun of Quibi. So yes, a comedy writer wrote this.
Right. And Jack Sparrow impersonated. It's a perfect like world of all those things.
Yeah.
I will say I am friends with a blacksmith who on Thanksgiving morning does a touch football, flag football game between a bunch of like Viking impersonators and Jack Sparrow impersonators on every Thanksgiving. So there are enough for a flag football team.
Oh, yeah, I know. Easily. I mean, if you go to that Starbucks, you got to bat them out of the way.
What's your guys' like ballpark for how many Jack Sparrow impersonators there are?
Are you just talking
on an average, like without COVID, Hollywood is up and bumping. If I'm driving
like
down,
living in L.A.
Living in L.A.?
Living in L.A.?
Oh, boy. Or are you talking full time or part time?
20 hours or more.
Yeah, 20 hours.
20 hours or more.
Okay.
I think 33.
Oh, the Christ year. Great. Yes, I think that's correct.
I was thinking more like this is like prices or something.
Oh, really? That are like actively working that much? Well, you might not be wrong. But I feel like a lot of these people, because you can go to Vegas.
Guys, I'm really trying to deflect and get away from my aunt.
From your aunt ticks. Oh, man. Well, here's the thing. Barbara, I'll admit this. I remember looking up, reading the Jack Sparrow thing, and then looking it up and being like, surely some footage of this must exist if it happened because it's too good of an idea. And that's when I found the Snopes article. And that's the only reason I know that it's fake.
But what this is illustrating to me?
Well, it is on Snopes. It's on Snopes.
But this is like why everything sucks, because this should be made.
Yes.
They wrote a satire. It's like, make it. Don't just write it. The people want to see it.
Yes, absolutely. Let's do that shit. And right
now,
you know,
I'm watching Love is Blind. I'm watching Circle. These are all things where people are just like stuck in a house.
Yeah.
You know, COVID test all these Jack Sparrow people, put them in one place. I demand it, if only to have justice for my own embarrassment.
Here's the
thing. I'm going to produce this show and get a Disney funeral just out of spite.
Here's the thing, though. I think every Jack Sparrow impersonator has tested positive for COVID, and that's the only reason you weren't able to do this show.
Oh, they didn't mention that, but yeah, I think they were probably. I think we're talking about a lot of first waivers.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
For whatever reason, the two things that we've got like a crazy surplus of are Jack Sparrows and Shreks.
Yes.
For whatever reason, there's just like an ass ton of those two characters.
I will say the Shrek, I don't understand the Shrek of it all. I don't understand why Shrek is such a big deal.
I agree. Like, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah. I don't remember much. I remember Donkey. That's all I remember, really. It's just Donkey. And then Smash Mouth doing all the soundtracks, but...
Yeah,
but it is a big deal.
In London, I was staying in London near the London Eye, and there was like a thing on the waterfront called Shrek Adventure. Why is there Shrek Adventure in London?
That was like 2 years ago, too. Like a Shrek... When is the last time a Shrek came out?
Honestly, okay, I want to guess. I think they're coming out all the time. What? Shrek's
Barbara,
have been...
be careful before you throw out any more facts. You gotta... Barbara, I'm gonna let you walk that back for a second.
It's just so imminent. It feels like it's constant.
Okay, there was the Broadway musical, which I guess could account for like a little bit of some new Shrek mania. But in my estimation, the last Shrek, I would guess, probably came out 2005.
Let's see.
Okay, we've got an untitled Shrek reboot coming out next year, apparently, on IMDb. I'm going to say allegedly with everything.
Okay.
There you go. Perfect.
I won't be taken to Ant Court.
Well, there's Shrek Forever After that happened in 2010.
Oh, okay.
And I don't
know. That's what I mean. There's a Shrek thing like always happening.
Oh, yeah. Untitled Shrek Reboot 2022.
So we're getting a new reboot? Shrek every 12 years?
Yeah, apparently. We got new Shreks coming.
So they're going to remake the first Shrek with new animation?
There's also something called Shrek in the Swamp Karaoke Dance Party. I think. Oh, that's a three-minute short. Who knows? who knows? I don't know what's happening with the Shreks. Listeners, if you are a big Shrekker, a Shrekifarian, let us know.
Explain yourself. Explain yourself. And I mean, I'm not even saying this is a judgy thing. Like, maybe there's something we are missing.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I mean, when Babs and I went to Smash Mouth for free at the Queen Mary, and they played what's the song? I'm a Believer. And they changed the lights to green. Everyone lost their fucking minds. So Shrek is big. We don't understand it.
I think, honestly, what if this is us being ants? Like, maybe we just missed the cutoff to be young enough to know why Shrek is big.
Oh, God. All right. I have some things to think about. We'll be back in a second. Hey, everybody. We're back in Lady Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're going to do your lady problems. We do have a voicemail now. If you want to call us, our number is 323-6-BUT-30.
That's butt with two T's, everybody. 6-BUTT-30. Save it in your phone. Honestly, save it in your phone and then just leave us a voicemail, you know, when you're out and about.
When the urge strikes you.
Yeah, we would love it. 323-6-BUT-30 or, you know, OG ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
We get them all.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have.
Hey, ladies, thank you for your brilliant and hilarious podcast. It's been a godsend in the hell of quarantine. I've got a friendship problem. At 5 a.m. today, I was awakened by a loud sound of something shattering. I woke up my partner and we carefully went around the house, half expecting to find someone breaking in. Some friends of ours were robbed at gunpoint in their home just weeks ago, so the possibility felt very real. We didn't see anything out of the ordinary inside, so my partner opened the front door, armed with a stick and ready to fight someone naked. We found a smashed planter with a roller skate on top of it, which I recognized as one of the pair I gave to my friend Jay about 5 months ago. So what led up to this? I've been friends with Jay for about 4 years. We are adult women in our 30s, and we both struggle with bipolar disorder. She has lashed out before towards me many times over things that seemed small to me, i.e. not answering my text messages as quickly as she'd like, seeing that I hung out with some friends without her on social media, and most recently me unfollowing her on Instagram after she lashed out via text to a roller skating friend I had introduced her to. I wanted to bring Jay into my skate group because the activity and community has been a big part of my mental health and self-care journey. I saved to buy some nice skates for her, since I know she also has been struggling financially and can have a hard time justifying buying nice things for herself. For several months, it seemed to be going really well, and we were having a lot of fun. Then Jay started to feel ignored. She took out her frustration and anger on Kay, our friend, by sending a series of nasty messages. Kay and other concerned friends we had been skating with brought it up to me. I couldn't help but feel angry and betrayed. I know this behavior, one, wasn't directed at me, and two, comes from a place of pain, not maliciousness, but it still sucks. I didn't have the emotional energy to have a compassionate conversation with Jay and hit unfollow her on her social media, thinking I'd give myself space to calm my feelings about her and the situation without her even knowing. Well, mistake. Obviously, she realized I'd unfollowed her and assumed the worst of my intentions despite my years-long friendship with her. I've supported her many times through emotional breakdowns, adjusting to medications, getting bills paid, and even other instances of her cutting me with her words when she was in a dark place mentally. She's had my back through some tough times too, especially this year, which I spent half of being unemployed and severely anxious. Setting boundaries with Jay has never gone smoothly though. I've continued to try with her because I recognize patterns with my own mental health struggle and her behaviors. So in addition to the tossed roller skates and broken planner, I got waves of messages on my phone calling me a terrible friend and a petty coward. I couldn't fall back asleep. I went about some morning tasks and meditated to ease my intense emotions before calling her at 9 to see what the hell was going on. I was upset but also worried about her. Turns out she had checked into the mental health clinic. I told her I was glad she had taken the step to get help. She apologized for breaking something. That was the end of the conversation because the docs took her phone. She's still mad at me. Must have checked out of the clinic because I just got a bunch more messages from her. There was an apology in there, but still lots of excuses and anger, so I don't know. The problem is I'm fucking worn thin, burnt out. I want to be a support to this person who I see myself in, who I know is struggling. I just don't know if I can take the brunt of this type of episode from her ever again. This morning freaked me out. At what point do you say you're done? Is it damaging to cut this friend off completely or to keep trying to work with her? I don't know if I'm just enabling destructive behaviors by continuing to forgive her. I had to take a break from our friendship for several months once before because of similar actions. Is it time to say goodbye and good luck for good? I feel like she's always demanding far more patience and understanding than she's willing to extend to anyone else. I know she's been working on her stuff. She's going to therapy and her episodes do seem to be less frequent. I know I need to give this time. Anyway, I'd really love to hear your thoughts. How have you gone about establishing and keeping boundaries with friends who push them? How do you decide who is deserving of your time and energy? What do you do for someone who needs help but asks for it in mean and sometimes scary ways? I know this is long. If you read this far, I appreciate you. Frazzled friend.
Whoo. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
What a horrible thing to go through. I mean,
my heart just goes out to you.
Yeah, I know. This is really.
And, you know, it's so hard when you're dealing with somebody who's going through something like this because you do want to have compassion and you want to, you know, be there for them as a friend. And so that really is such a hard thing to grapple with. But at the end of the day, she took your safety into, you know, she could have hurt you by doing that. It's not okay. So
yeah, you shouldn't feel scared. You are
absolutely in your justification to cut her out. And I think that's what you need to do at this point.
I think definitely. And also, I mean, just in all of what you wrote, there wasn't really like one place where it sounded like you were getting anything out of this relationship.
Yes.
It was so much of you doing this, you doing that, you know, facing abuse, you know, like, I mean, to me, and like, you know, which isn't to say that that's always the dynamic in a relationship. Like, obviously, there's going to be some times where one person
leans
is more in need of help than the other. And not everyone's going to be, you know, doing their best at the same time. But over the course of a relationship, it should be a mutual relationship.
Yes.
It's totally unfair to you to be giving time to somebody, and like, you know, you when that's time that you could be spending on yourself.
Yeah,
is that absolutely. I mean, you only have one life to live. I mean, what are you getting out of this relationship? I mean, which is, you know, I think it's so obviously it's heartbreaking because this person is ill and like you've been so supportive of them, but at the end of the day, I think you've got to think about your own health and happiness.
And like, here's like, this is something I think about a lot. Marcus Parks from the last podcast on the left says this often on their show, because he is bipolar. What your diagnosis, your mental illness, is not your fault, but it is your responsibility to take care of it. Like, you you're not, like, it happening to you is not your fault, but the way that it interacts with other people, you are responsible for that. And like, finding ways to manage it as best as possible. And I'm glad that she's going to therapy and doing all of these things, but frankly, they aren't enough, because she made you feel unsafe in your own home. You know, that's and she's like harassing your friends. She's getting between other friendships that you have. Like, this is all incredibly toxic behavior. And, you know, it's I had like a roommate one time that kind of was doing something similar to this. And it kind of took me really legitimately cutting her off, I think, for her to hit like a rock bottom and actually start doing work on herself, you know, because it's hard to set new patterns with people once patterns exist already too, because from their side you've also taught them you are willing to deal with. Like, you've told them, this is how I am willing to have this relationship, you know, which I think can be so hard. Like, once you're set in something, and then down the line you're like, actually I'm being treated badly. They're like, no, I'm treating you the way you've always let me treat you. And that's where a lot of that shit comes from.
And I mean, the reality is that you probably can't help her that much. You know, I know that you want to, but the biggest help you probably can do to her is showing her that there's a consequence to acting this way, and that I can't be in your life if you're going to treat someone like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, because here's the thing. If like, you guys had been woke up early and you heard somebody outside of your house and your partner had opened the door and like, hit her with a baseball bat before you saw her because you thought there was an intruder outside, like, what was she going to do? Like, sue you and your partner for assault and battery? It's like, she's you know, she's acting very manic and toxic in a way that you just can't, it's not safe for you in your life, you know?
I mean, it sounds corny, but it is just like, safety first. I mean, that's kind of one of those boundaries that just people cannot
emotionally, mentally, physically, like, you have to And I've been in like a situation like this romantically where it was like, you know, it got really bad and I had to cut them out. And I think that like, you have to know that this is somebody who maybe there's a future for you guys to have a friendship or something like that, but it's obviously going to have to be after she does some work and then you can reconsider that later. But at this point, for both of your well-beings, it just has to be, you know, no communication. You can't handle unfollowing someone and then having that like fearing for yourself after that.
It's just the manipulative behavior. Oh, I wasn't texting fast enough, not giving enough. That's so harmful and so not necessary for you to have in your life.
And being jealous of your friends, you hanging out with like other friends and stuff like that is like, it's like, you know, it's emotionally abusive behavior too. Cause like she doesn't own you. She's not entitled to you. I feel like sometimes, and I don't think this happens as often with men, but I'd be curious actually, because you don't at least hear it talked about often, but I feel like sometimes female friendships can get like so enmeshed where like it's always like this other kind of like, it's a friendship, but like it's more than a friendship in a way that you're like, you are like my like life partner and everything, and you get the weird jealousy and like the toxicity of like what like a bad romantic relationship can be like without, you know, fucking this person, but you get the same emotional attachment in like a really intense way. And it's a breakup. It's like hard to get out of those, you know?
Yeah. And I think just like a breakup, like breakups are just like, I remember someone just told me once, like breakups are just like cutting strings off of a puppet. Like you have to cut like one and then that one and then that one. And then you have to do it just like kind of methodically and clinically and just do it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really hard, but it's going to be for the best. You're going to like not have to deal with this anxiety. And once you're on the other side of it too, it'll be easier to see, you know, that what you've gone through.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also I think it's like important, like nobody is a bad person for running out of patience on a person. Like you're not at all. We all hit our wits' ends. I think a thing to come away from this with is to maybe like really think about what your 50% of like where you let your boundaries go and how you can be more aware of that in the future. Like what are things that you can learn from this, you know, for future friendships and stuff like that. I think that's always like, that always makes like a breakup or a friend breakup or romantic or otherwise like really feel more productive to me, so you don't get caught in like the sads quite as much, because it's like, okay, I let somebody treat me like this. Why did I let that happen? At what point did it happen? Did I not become aware of it? When did I let those lines keep falling away? When did I keep, you know, let that happen? Like you bought her skates. Skates are expensive, you know, like that's a real legitimate purpose. And like for her to, you know, throw that back at you. It also, at some point here, I think it says like you might have like helped her out with some bills and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, it's just one thing after another. Yeah. Like all signs point to gotta completely extricate yourself from this person.
Yeah, exactly. And I think those kind of friendships can.
But that's cool that you're skating so much.
I know. I think that's cool. If you're doing, send us a video of you and your other friends doing some tricks. If you can do any, or not, just skating around. Do you have any cool pins on your skates or something? Yeah, yeah. I think focus on your other friendships that don't make you feel like this, because this is. Here's the thing: if this was a person you were dating, you would not have put up with this anywhere near this long.
No.
So I think that's always a good rule to apply to like certain friendships too, where it's like, oh, is this, if I was like sexually involved with this person, would this be okay? It's like, oh no. Like sometimes friendships, we just give them more of a pass than we should sometimes. The line keeps moving and moving. But
it's so hard with these things where, it doesn't have that thing of a you know, sexual relationship or romantic one where it's not like you feel like you need to end it because it's a friendship. So why would you need to do that? Yeah. You know, but trying to take the high, not like even the high road, because it's not like you guys are whatever it is, but trying to be the bigger person in these situations is so hard, because you have compassion for them because you are a good person and you're trying to like see what they're going through. Mm-hmm. But man, it's just like it really takes a toll.
Yeah. Exactly. And I know that you said that like you recognize patterns in her that with the way that you're, you know, you in your own mental health struggles, but like you haven't done any of this stuff. So, you know, just because she, you know, just because you guys both have Sarah's similar diagnosis, like I said, like, it's her responsibility to be a person functioning in the world and not like making her friends scared and harassing them and being generally toxic. Like,
I mean, just know. Picture your life right now and picture all the time that she's taken up in it. And then just visualize that, like, a giant cutout and that being airlifted away. And now look at all the space you have and what do you want to fill it with?
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I also feel like with those kind of friendships and relationships too, I try to be like, ooh, is this person like a pattern in my life that like, have I been friends with or like been involved with people like this before? And is this like something to be looking out for too? Like, that's part of like a, you know, I always feel like a rundown at the end of something too. Like, my crazy ex-roommate, she was definitely in my life because of like mental illness in my family and stuff like that. I recognized like when it was like really ramping up, I was like, oh, this is reminding me of like people. I was like trying to fix it this time because of this other person that I couldn't fix it with.
When you're like empathetic and stuff too, and you just kind of can like bring these people into your life a little easier and get attached to them in a way.
Yeah.
So it can definitely like repeat itself. So it's good to look at
that. It's easy to double down on that shit too. And it starts to be like, but I've already done this. I've already helped them with this financially. I've already gone through all this and that. Like, it's almost like you're doubling down and expecting to see like a return on your bet or your investment.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes you got to know when you're just going to walk away with chips on the table. Like,
no one to hold them, no one to fold them, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like getting out of a cult.
Another gambling thing.
The house always wins.
Let
and guess
it ride.
What? Yeah, the house always wins. She doesn't get to break your planners anymore.
Yeah, there we go.
You're the house. But good luck.
But good luck. Yeah, I mean, also, again, just like anything, read over back over what you said to us. Yes. It's very clear, you know, what you should do there. But I know that it's a really hard decision to make. So good luck. Block. Get social media off your phone, whatever you need to do to like get away from it on your phone as much as possible.
Get from it away from it as much as possible. Also, like, your group of friends, be like, hey, I need support right now through this, please. You know, let them know, like, I'm trying to get rid of this person. Like, if she contacts you, I'm sorry. Like, this is, you know, lean into your other friendships.
Man, when they do that shit, when they start contacting other people, that's just like,
yeah, ugh. I know. It's really gross.
Some people just love to be a bull in a china shop.
Yeah,
it's just how they like
so
to spend
hard. You're like, I don't want this. I don't want my friends to deal with this. Like, no one wants this. Just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But you got this. Let us know how it goes, and send us some skate videos. I love my skates.
Yeah.
Me and Tess went skating.
Yeah. Can we go this week?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Ooh, Tess, I got the code.
Everyone's getting skates. What is the skate thing? Yeah. Like, where?
Because it's like a fun thing you can do outside.
Yeah. It's an outside thing.
But why is it this level? Like, it just started happening in the last like few months.
Because
I know you've had them the whole time, Tess, but
yeah,
I've seen a ton of people getting them.
I feel like it's been a pretty steady build through all of quarantine.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the 70s are back. Like, it looks cute. Like, the aesthetic is really nice. It's an outdoor thing. It's like very, it's a physical thing that's like, just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're a kid again a little bit.
I find it. Yeah. Like, there's some, like, it's very good mentally because it's like you're outside, you're getting exercise, you listen to music.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel like a kid. Like, totally. It's just like, and it's free. Like, once you get your skates, it's like free to go skate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. These are all, I see now.
Tess, I got the code for the tennis courts in Eagle Rock at the rec center.
Yes!
So no big deal. We got this.
Yes. Oh, we got to go.
Woo. Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Well, so that's our episode. Thank you so much as always for listening.
Woo. And remember, 3236BUT30. Put it in your phone. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to the new year, and we'll talk to you soon.
And we are going to have a big announcement next week. It's not going to be a regular episode, but we're very excited to share some news with you guys. And yeah, you'll hear about that next time.
Woo! All right. Talk to you soon, y'all.
Woo!